by what means he was saved. When I was a seminarian my last summer on the west side of Phoenix, I had the chance to go to Perryville Prison. It's a women's prison, and I went in not sure what to expect, but I was kind of blown away. First of all, I was blown away that we got into a van driven by an inmate, and I was like, where's the guard, you know? And we drove through, and we went to this place, several security points, went in and did a communion service. And afterwards, we were sitting there and we're talking to people, and I just said, hi, you know, I'm Deacon Matt or whatever, you know, and talking to this woman, and she said to me, coming to prison was the best thing that ever happened to me. I was like, I'm sorry, what? And she said, because in prison here is where I found God. And that's changed my life. And I've been working a job here, whatever, it's like $2.35 an hour. And I estimate by the time I get out of here, I'll have saved up about $4,000. And my daughter and I can start a new chapter together. That going to prison was the very means that helped change and save her life, she said. Peter tells the leader of the people today, if you want to know by what means this man was saved, it wasn't because of me, like I have some magical power, but this crippled man who can now walk, that he was saved by Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. Jesus Christ, who was rejected and suffered, but became the cornerstone. That bad stuff happened to Jesus, but he worked it all for good. That everything that was seemingly dead and done, that through it he has brought about our salvation. Peter goes on to say this bold statement, there is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. That even the name Jesus means God saves. His whole mission, that everything he's about is our salvation. The challenge is, it doesn't always feel that way, but that's who he is, and that's what he's about. That our God is good. And his whole mission is to gather his children. He invites. He doesn't force. He calls by name. He knows us by name. He knows every hair on our head. And he invites us to him. And so this Sunday is often called Good Shepherd Sunday, because we hear John 10, which is the story. We hear Jesus talking about this image of a good shepherd, an image appropriate at that time, but also still speaks, I think, to us today. That Jesus says, a good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, which is very different than a hired man who sees a wolf and runs away. Jesus says, I will lay down my life for my sheep. That we have a God who doesn't stand far off, indifferent to our sufferings, but one who comes and takes it head on, who meets us in our suffering and difficulties so that we would never have to face it alone. The challenge is, in the midst of that bad stuff, it's hard to remember his goodness. Because in the midst of difficulty, I know a prayer that's been on my heart at times, what I felt was, okay, if God is so good, why is this bad stuff happening? I remember thinking about, if marriage is so good, why do I sometimes wish my parents would just get a divorce so the fighting would stop? If God really wants me to be happy, then why isn't this person that I love still in my life? And so difficulties and sufferings can make us question the goodness of our God. Even me saying this now, I didn't always believe, I didn't believe that I was allowed to be that honest with God. Until a retreat I went on a few years ago, my director had given me the story of the prodigal son. And in reading that story, I always think about like the prodigal son, and oh yeah, that's what they named the story. And then I realized and saw differently the older brother. That here's this brother who is trying to do everything right. All these years I've served you, never once have I disobeyed you. Yet you've never even given me a goat for me and my friends. Like, if you're so good, Dad, how come you're not blessing me with your goodness? And I realized in that moment that I was suspect of God's goodness because my life hadn't been perfect. There had been difficulties, and I would have scripted it differently. But I realized in that prayer time that God is big enough to take it. God wants it. That the Father goes out to his Son, he meets his Son in his hurt, that he steps into that place of tension and ugliness that I'd rather just ignore. That is the good shepherd, that he comes to kind of bleed out the black poison that had been poisoning my heart and my trust of God. And in that prayer time, I finally just gave myself permission and just kind of like let out all this stuff that was on my heart. And I literally felt this burden lift. That this suspicion of God and his goodness was actually a burden of mistrust and caution. Like, I have to protect myself. I have to fight for my own good because I don't know if God's going to do it. And that burden was lifted. And I realized that the Father was drawing close to be with me in my suffering. That the whole time I felt maybe alone, that the whole time that he was there with me. That Jesus doesn't stand far off, but he goes to the cross out of love for you and I. That no one takes my life from me. That what held Jesus to the cross was not nails, but his love. Because that's where you and I are at times. And with that burden lifted, my eyes even changed. That I saw God differently. That I saw not his meanness allowing me to suffer as if he didn't care, but I saw his goodness meeting me in my pain. And then over time, I saw more clearly how all that bad stuff that I had experienced was somehow the very means that he's made me into the person I am today. And that's a good thing. That somehow for each one of us, that the difficulties, the challenges, the hurts that we've experienced have somehow made us into the person we are today, and that's a good thing. And that even if you've ever found Father Matt to be a good, that's me, if you ever found me to be a good listener, it's because of my story. That things in my life that were very difficult made me into a person that can listen well. And that actually the hurt and disappointment, that it's actually given me a greater freedom and capacity and desire to enter into other people's hurt and disappointment with them. Our invitation this Sunday is to turn to our good God, to like a wounded sheep turning to the good shepherd, to tell him all about what makes it hard to trust him, what makes it hard to trust in his goodness. That we can express our voice to him, and actually by expressing our voice, sometimes people say, like, I don't hear God talk to me. And I was like, well, if you're talking to somebody and they're not talking, what might they be doing? Listening. That perhaps God is not talking because he knows you've got a whole lot more to say. And I didn't realize I did until it just like just came out of me, you know? That by actually expressing my voice, it opened my ears to be able to hear his voice. And what does he say? What does the father say to the prodigal son after he lets it all out? He says, "Everything I have is yours." That our good God is not holding anything back for our goodness, but pours out everything out of love for us. And so I look back and I see the things that happened in my life were the very means by which God has saved me. That I actually needed those very precise things. I didn't like them, but it's made me into who I am today. That we have a God who redeems everything. That the resurrection is not just a nice thing that happened 2,000 years ago, but it's something God wants to do in every one of our lives to bring new life. I'll close with a story. I actually heard this earlier today, true story, of this young man whose brother got sick with cancer, and unfortunately his brother ended up passing away. He was young, he was very sad, and the brother spent several months in the hospital. And so this person who shared this story would go and visit his brother as often as he could. And one day, his brother said to him from his hospital bed, "I am so grateful. It's not easy being in the hospital, and I'm suffering a lot. But in the last month, I've been able to receive communion almost every day. And I've been able to go to confession and be anointed. I feel God's love. And what I want for you, my brother, is for you to know his love also. And so I encourage you to go to church and do his will." And so this young man was affected by this, that he saw in his dying brother unmistakable strength, peace, and joy. And so he listened. He did just that. He turned to God and tried to seek God's will. And now, this young man is a seminarian for the Diocese of Phoenix. And God willing, in a few years, he will be that type of shepherd to go meet other people in the hospital and to hear their confession and to anoint them and to bring them communion. That because of this means of this sad loss of his brother, that he's been able to encounter the Savior. And his desire is that through this means that he experienced God's love, that now he feels called to be a priest so that other people can experience God's love and the salvation that only he can bring.